Now in our Bible study today, we are going to look at the closing verses of the sixth chapter of Revelation. If you are a regular listener to this broadcast, you will know that we have been going through a consecutive study in this wonderful book, the book of Revelation. This week we have been looking at chapter 6 and the opening of the seals and the judgments that followed. Now we come today to verse 12 of chapter 6, and you will take note of this, that what is said about the opening of the sixth seal takes up more space in this chapter than any of the other portions or the opening of the first five seals. Let us read then what the Word of God says about the opening of the sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, the moon became as blood, the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. The heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, we think of the solemn issues that are revealed in thy holy word. We have been reading concerning some of these things now. We ask that by thy Holy Spirit thou shalt impress these solemn truths upon our hearts in such a way that our lives will be molded thereby, and our lives lived to thy glory. Hear us in these things for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now then, we've been looking at the opening of the various seals. And under the fifth seal, we learn this, that there John saw the martyrs who were under the altar. They were martyrs because of the word of God and the testimony that they held. But now they were crying out, asking God, as it were, how long they were to wait. They're saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? I pointed out in our last study that under the age of grace in which we now live, Christians do not cry for vengeance, but rather we take the words of the Lord Jesus uttered on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Then the words of Stephen, who was reckoned the first Christian martyr, he said, Lay not this sin to their charge. So that deep down in the hearts of men and women today who are Christians, they pray to God for grace and for mercy. They pray for the salvation even of those who despitefully use them. But here when we come to the book of the Revelation and the fifth seal is opened, these martyrs are crying for judgment, asking how long before the Lord would avenge their blood on them that are the earth dwellers. I pointed out the rightness of this, because what God does under law, may be different from what he does under grace. And when we come to the book of the Revelation, the age of grace has come to an end, and God is now dealing with men under a new covenant, so to speak. He's ready now to bring forth the power of the kingdom, and people have been preaching concerning the coming king and the coming kingdom, and they have become martyrs. Now, in giving an answer to their cry or to their prayer, he said this: they were to rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. But we have no record between verse 11 and verse 12 of that taking place. We've got to wait until we reach another part in the book of the Revelation before we read about that. However, at this particular point now, the sixth seal is broken. And when the sixth seal is broken and the scroll unrolled, something else is revealed. And under the sixth seal, we discover now the answer to the cry of these martyrs. According to the sixth seal message, the time has come for the Lord to come out in judgment upon those who persecuted his people and those who put them to death as martyrs. So under this sixth seal, we find this. It prepares us for the closing years of the age. And we see here now the intervention of God in the affairs of this world, preparing for that great event at the end time, the coming of Christ. This then, I suggest, is the answer to the cry of the martyrs. It's not that God has closed his ear to their cry. It's not that God has forgotten them, but then God waits his own time and works in his own way according to his own calendar or his own timepiece. If I may draw on an Old Testament illustration to prove this, when Joseph's brethren turned against Joseph and rejected him, they first of all put him down in the pit. Then they dragged him from the pit and sold him as a common slave for 20 pieces of silver. Joseph was perhaps only a young lad of 17 years of age when his brethren treated him with such contempt, and they saw him carried away down into Egypt. But a number of years passed, and perhaps after about 20 years, they had to stand before Joseph, and they didn't even recognize him. But the fact of the matter is that God didn't forget him. God was with Joseph all the time, and these brethren of Joseph perhaps had tried to forget how they treated Joseph, but the day came when their memories began to work. They began to remember how they treated him, and they had to confess that they were verily guilty concerning their brother. The conscience began to move, the memory began to move, and they were tormented in their own conscience when the thought of how they had treated Joseph. Now you see, God took his own time. The time came when God exalted Joseph to the place of power, and his brethren had to do the very thing that they said they wouldn't do. They wouldn't bow to him. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, just like Joseph, he was rejected. They said they wouldn't have him to reign over them. They had no king but Caesar. And they let him be taken out to the place called Calvary and crucified on a Roman cross. And today men and women are trying to forget that the world rejected Christ. And the nation of Israel is trying to forget or deny that they ever rejected their Messiah. But the day will come when they'll realize how wrong they were. The day will come when God will exalt him and they'll all have to bow the knee to him. Here then, at the opening of the sixth seal, strange things take place. There is a convulsion in creation. He said there was a great earthquake. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So it is affecting the earth, a great earthquake. It's affecting the things in the heavens. There is the sun and the moon and the stars. So heaven is affected. And then again, he says that the heavens were shaken. The heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. It also affected the mountains and the islands. You see, it was God who created the heavens and the earth, and the God who created is the God who can control. Now here we find that the material things are shaken. But I wonder, is this only signifying the convulsion in material things, or does it signify things governmental? We've got to face this, that in the Word of God, the sun was given to rule the day, and the moon to rule the night, and he made the stars also. So we learn in the book of Genesis. If these things are indicative then of rule, and if there's to be a great earthquake, we realize this, that the powers of earth are going to be shaken. Not only material things, but things governmental will be shaken as well. For men will be unable to keep control. This is an awe-inspiring scene, with God shaking the heavens and the earth, so that all men begin to tremble, but the sad thing is, they don't repent. You know, I wonder at times, as you read these things, we are reminded of this, that when the Lord was depicting to his own, as recorded way back in Matthew chapter 24, he was telling them the things that would come to pass, that there would be such things, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places. Now just what is denoted by the details of this picture, it is sometimes difficult to determine. What is pictured by the earthquake and the darkened sun and moon, by the falling stars, by the open heaven and the moving mountains and the islands? Do they depict social and political revolutions and cosmic convulsions? These signs, remember, which Christ foretold as preceding his return, at that time he did not interpret, nor does the prophet here explain them. However, he does clearly describe the terror of an impenitent world. He mentions all classes of society, bond and free, in the futile attempt to escape. They are not so much afraid of death as of the revealed presence of God and the righteous anger of the Christ who is the Lamb. When these things happened, men said, "The day of his wrath is come." That's the last verse of the chapter. "For the great day of his wrath is come." Now I want you to notice, the great day of his wrath had not come. It was they who were saying this. These men were saying this, and they're calling on the mountains and the rocks to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For they said, "The great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?" Now, at the present time, there's a great number of people who are of the opinion that the world has just been going on year after year, generation after generation, empires rise and empires fall, or one government takes office and then is elected out or overthrown, and another comes into being, and so nations change in the form of government, and most people are of the opinion that we're getting better, that very soon we'll be able to usher in some system of world peace, that we'll all be able to live comfortable on the face of this earth, and that it'll be a matter of live and let live. This is the dream that some politicians have, that we can lay a basis for a permanent peace. My friend, the day will come when men will have to realize this, that they have tried every form of government they can think of, and everyone has finished up in failure. And the reason why they finish in failure is because that men are failures. We have failed. We're in rebellion against God. And as long as sin rules in the heart, you can rest assured there can be no permanent peace in the life or permanent peace in the world. And the day will come when men will realize that God will step in to his own creation and take command. From the day that the world rejected Christ, remember this, God is waiting patiently, and Christ is waiting patiently. But although God exercises a great amount of patience, and the Lord Jesus Christ waits, waiting for the day, as I have said before, for the day when his enemies shall be made his footstool. But men seem to think that God is withdrawn, if there was a God, they'll say. And man seems to think today that he has control of all matters. But remember this, God has never yet dealt with the world for the rejection and the death of his Son. But God will deal with this world. God will deal with humanity. God will deal with his enemies. And while we can present God as a God of love, who sent his Son to die on Calvary's cross, while we can present God as a God of mercy and a God of grace, oh, my friend, remember this, God is also a God of righteousness. And while we're living today in the day of his grace, for this is the day of salvation, says the Bible, it will be followed by the day of vengeance of our God. There will come the day of his wrath. It's amazing how that these men, as depicted to us here in Revelation chapter 6, at the opening of the sixth seal, they said the great day of his wrath is come. The fact of the matter is, it hadn't come. They thought it was. This was a forerunner, because we shall see, as we proceed through the book of the Revelation, this was only the opening of the sixth seal. This will lead to the opening of the seventh seal. And when the seventh seal is opened, that will introduce the blowing of the seven trumpets. And the seven trumpets, as they are blown, will introduce judgments far more intense than what we've seen in the opening of those six seals. And the seventh trumpet will introduce the time for the pouring forth of the vials of God's wrath. And when God pours forth the vials of his wrath, that will be the great day of his wrath. The thing to be decided here in this particular passage is this, that men's hearts were failing them for fear. And here we find that things that were governmental, things material, seemed to be shaken to their very foundations. Men's hearts failing them for fear, and they're crying to the rocks, crying to the mountains to fall on them, hide them from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. Way back in the Old Testament, we read something like this, because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. So on the basis of that quotation, we are faced with the great fact that there is wrath. When John the Baptist, who was reckoned the greatest of the prophets and the last in that prophetic line, prior to the introduction of the Lord Jesus Christ and his presentation to the nation and to the world, it was John the Baptist who said one day to a number of hypocritical religious people who approached him, he said, "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" You see, John knew that there was wrath to come, that the day of God's grace will be followed by the day of his wrath. So therefore, we face the great fact that back in the Old Testament we're told there is wrath. Therefore beware. John the Baptist said, "Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come?" And here in this chapter, we read, "For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" It's one thing to know about the blood of the Lamb that was shed on Calvary. It's another thing to know that there's such a thing as the Book of the Lamb for registration. But now there's the wrath of the Lamb for retribution. My friend, let's face this great fact today. If we're not prepared to take the Word of God as it stands now, remember there will come a day when we'll be faced with it and we'll not be able to deny it. Here we have it pictured to us in Revelation chapter 6 at the opening of this seal. Here are men who were godless men. Men who had no time for the things of God in this life. But when the great crisis came, you find them here having to face the wrath of the Lamb, the great day of his wrath. Now look, these people now have a guilty conscience. You know, sometimes the conscience can be seared. And when the conscience is seared, it doesn't seem to act correctly. And when the Word of God is preached, there's no response. There's no proper reaction from the person that hears the Word, in plain words. There are multitudes of people today who do not accept the Bible as the Word of God. They just treat it as if it was another book. They've pushed it aside. They do not accept it as being an authority. But I may say this, that I stand right here. I believe the Bible is the authentic Word of the living God. And if men don't believe that now, they'll have to believe it hereafter. And here these men are faced in the time of crisis, and they have a guilty conscience. They're crying now for the mountains and the rocks. Now, someone may say, "And who are these people?" And I want you to note this very carefully now. We're living in a day of great race warfare and class warfare. One set blaming the other. You have the working man blaming the master. You have one ethnic group blaming another ethnic group. But notice what it says here. The kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains. That's on one side. Over against that, and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. You see, it's going to affect everyone. From the highest up, right to the least, every man is faced with the same problem. And so they have a guilty conscience. Not only a guilty conscience, there's the torment of remorse. There's the dread of meeting a holy and a righteous God. Oh, my friend, remember, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. In the view of this coming day of wrath, let us remember this. We ought to get right with God and do it now. Get right with God, he tells you how. Oh, come to Christ who shed his blood, and at the cross get right with God.